A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation related, and Brewing says it's badly needed as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rowe says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Do your priorities for the country match the president's? Listen live as Joe Biden lays out his plans during the State of the Union address February 7th, starting at 8 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station. Then stay with us as News Director Terry Bell and guests break down and share reaction to the policies the president presents. You can join the conversation too. The State of the Union address live with coverage from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, February 7th on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Jim Santel for just a few more minutes. As you point out, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. You think that the Trump org will end up with the death penalty under New York law.
Letitia James, she's doing the civil case, right? This is a criminal matter.
Oh, it is. So I misunderstood.
It is, yes.
Normally, so, I leave the being wrong to Dom.
Right?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
My mom gave me the speech.
The speech? Or?
No, the speech. Not the talk.
Not the talk.
The speech. There's two different. The talk and the speech.
So we all know what the talk is. What's the speech?
She mainly didn't want me to smoke and didn't want me to drink.
Yeah.
She said, you're already a goofy person, so don't smoke and don't drink. That's why when I tell people about Lee Vodka, they don't believe it because I don't drink.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to market myself. I'm trying to market you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not like, marketing me.
Yeah. You're not. You're doing a service, a public service for Wisconsin.
Facts.
Because we need our Bloody Marys.
Facts. All facts.
Yeah. I mean, total.
So that's the whole premise of, and they used to call me a square because I didn't drink and I didn't.
Who calls you square?
Some of the players.
Oh, yeah? No, so you've never drank ever?
Never drank, never smoked.
Never smoked,
nope.
Ever? edibles.
The smoking thing was close.
Oh, okay.
For weed. Because my uncle used to tell me they used to have two lines at these frat parties. He said he heard this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a line to try alcohol, but it was moonshine.
Ooh.
So everybody drinking out of a like a mason jar.
Yeah.
I was like, that's kind of lame. There's a line for weed. Yeah. Long line. And you try it. If you like it, you can. They'll give you some.
Yeah.
Allegedly. He said, don't get in those lines. Mm-hmm. Then you're good. And I thought it was kind of made up, but Charlie, it was true. I mean, you go to these parties, you get the red cup to try beer or alcohol, and it's like in another area, everybody's smoking.
Huh.
But see, the thing about the reason why I'm okay with it, because when you have anxiety, a lot of people don't like injections. A lot of people don't like pills. Mm-hmm. Name me one person right now who broke the law who smoked weed or edible. They probably ate up all the Cheetos or drank up all the Jolly Goods.
Right.
But they ain't robbing no banks. Right. They ain't breaking no laws.
Yeah.
It's just chill.
Right.
So I just think that, and I don't even know if that's progressive. I just think it's the right thing. I don't like telling people what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just said I wasn't going to do it, but all of my friends smoked or, you know, drank.
Yeah.
But I was a designated driver.
You were the DD.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's an interesting thing about you, you know, like there's not, I've certainly met some people who've never done anything, you know, but there's not many.
Do you think they're weird people? Be honest.
No. that's the other thing is, usually they're not. Usually it's the last person you would expect.
Yes.
To not do it. But there's also something about if you never tried it, then almost you've never been relying on it.
Yes.
And you've never used it to sort of cope with, I think a lot of people use it in some cases to cope with like anxiety or that initial fear of meeting people or something.
And pain.
And pain as well. I'm getting hotter than hell in this friggin'
Well, it's your show. Sweatshirt. Do what you want to do, man.
Oh, I'm sweating. Holy smokes. I don't know why. You made me hot.
We're talking weed, you got hot. Because a lot of people would think, though, if you never did it, why are you okay with it? I'm okay with it because I don't tell people how to deal with their anxiety, their mental illness, or their pain.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want to do, it's fine with me.
Yeah.
But I think sooner or later, all 50 states, you'll be able to get weed. And I guarantee you, there'll be no crime. Everybody will be home eating Cheetos and you know, snacks.
Right.
Sleeping.
Yeah, you don't
be relaxed.
Right. Yeah, you don't get, you know, you hear about all these drunken bar fights.
Yes.
You know, but you're not getting anyone getting super stoned and being like, I'm gonna fight you, man.
It'll be like you fighting with the Matrix, like
Whoosh.
And then you cut to one of Charlie Baron's best videos, both are sleeping. They started fighting like the Matrix. Done. Just sleep. It's no. So.
Yeah.
But I was okay with it. A lot of the players didn't do it, but all our friends did.
Mm-hmm.
But you would smell like it.
Yeah. Sure.
So well,
if you're around
you did.
It, you're going to smell like it. Let's talk about your new Leap Vodka. You've got a Hall of Fame version of it.
Now, we had that in the suite. So when my name went up in the facade.
Okay, you know what? That's a better place to start. Yeah. What was that like? I mean, Lambeau Field. It is the Mecca of the Midwest. And now your name is up there in the South end zone.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
It's kind of narcissistic in a way. Because you're thinking, oh, it's about me. And as you know me, we've been knowing each other about 5 years. I try to be as humble as, that's just how I am.
Yeah.
But they won't let you be humble in that.
Instance. In that scenario?
Yes.
It's got to
be about you.
So it's your name.
My mom and she was, when she first visited Lambeau, she didn't know what the names were. So she did her research. Oh, those are Hall of Famers or important people, da, da, da. And she would just say, if your name is up there, it can never come down, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was amazing. So, and thank you for coming.
Oh my God, thanks for the invite.
The teammates and stuff like that, and my speech, I wanted my teammates to see what it felt like. You just asked me, what did it feel like?
Yeah.
I wanted my teammates who were there, the ones who were there, to know what it feels like to get the attention.
Yeah.
And then when they unveiled it, I was like, oh boy, it was amazing. It was, because I played for one team. That made it perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And who do they, because it's not every Packers Hall of Famer who ends up there.
No.
Obviously.
No,
so no. How do they choose?
Well, if you're a Hall of Famer, you go up there.
Not every single Hall of Famer, though, is it?
Yes.
Oh, it's every single Hall of Famer makes it?
But not every jersey is retired.
I see how
it goes. Know how they do the jersey retirement thing, because I think it's only like 4 or 5. I think 36 should be retired. But
that's what I'm thinking too. Yeah. Hey, did you see I wore the jersey and we did a Thanksgiving video where I got punted. I was playing turkey bowl and I got punted in the pecker. And I was wearing your jersey for that. I got to send that to you. Yeah. Who took a punt to the pecker? Yeah.
Who came up with that?
I did. Yeah. I mean, Max shot it beautifully, though. And he actually took like a couple extra takes, you know. But yeah, I was wearing your jersey.
When we edit this, can you play that in the background?
Yeah, we will. We will.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I'll show it to you after. Awesome. You're gonna like it.
That's awesome.
You're gonna like it. So yeah, and I don't think you haven't come on the podcast since you've been went into the Hall of Fame.
No, we did a virtual. And then we did a couple of radio interviews.
We did two virtual podcasts. This is our first podcast in person.
We did the one on the Leap that went viral. When I judged the Leap.
Yeah. When you judged the Leap, that was great.
You were the best anchor man. If you're an anchor man fan like me, you were amazing. Did you like segue right into, let's just judge these Leaps. It was awesome.
That was a fun time.
Yeah.
That was really good. God, that was like 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
2020.
People keep asking me like, why are you around some of my biggest? I say, listen, Charlie Behrens is a huge star. And what makes you funny? This is what I told Uncle John. You know, I love Uncle John.
Uncle John, yeah, he loves you.
And
back.
I love your parents.
They love you.
I love your
too.
Family. I say the reason why he's a star, because he's not trying to be funny. That's why I like Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's not trying to be funny. He's just funny.
Yeah.
And it's organic sketches. And it's just the thought process of your energy. See, I think people my age, I'm 54, we're not going to change a lot in this world. But people like you and Maximus, you guys are going to make it to where whoever's in the audience, I can make everybody laugh, not just a certain person.
Mm-hmm.
I make everybody laugh. And I think that's the reason why I think we're friends, because it's an energy there. And when we go all the way back, when I found out you was a Packer fan, I said, this is great, because I've always wanted to do funny stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember you were doing one of your shows and we went backstage and we just shot a video.
Oh, yeah.
On your phone.
Yeah.
See, I like that kind of spontaneous.
That spontaneous type deal.
Do you call yourself a comic, though? I want to ask you that.
I would say, yeah. I would call myself, like, as opposed to what they would say, like, an influencer or a podcaster.
All
or
that.
What? No, I would. Yeah, I would just say comedian, you know. Yeah. And that's kind of, that's overarching.
I feel like I'm interviewing you now. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
I just want to know, like, what's the best part, shooting videos or stand-up? Because your stand-up is amazing.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for coming to the show.
Oh, my God. We're still laughing.
The Paps.
Me and my wife were still laughing.
She's awesome, man. She's so
we like
fun.
That you rip on your family.
Yeah.
When we say rip, like, bring them into the show.
Yeah.
And they're with it. They're with it. Some they families are like,
Yeah.
Your dad, who I love, he's with it.
Yeah, he is.
But you like stand up or you like videos better?
I do like them both, and they're both necessary for me. Sort of like they satisfy two different things. The videos help sell the tickets to the show,
right?
And at the same time, I like doing the videos a lot.
Now, but I couldn't even see you because all your shows were sold out.
Well, you know, no.
You had like 15
you
cities.
You know that any
Maximus,
show.
Maximus, he big time me.
First of all, I love how you're Maximus you're going with.
Yeah.
I love that.
Come on now. Who don't know about Maximus?
Well, it's Maxwell, yeah. First of all.
No, not anymore.
I love that you just changed it. I'm going to start calling Maximus too. I mean, Maximus. Gladiator,
yes. Who don't know that? Russell Crowe, man.
Russell Crowe. Do you know? You want to hear a story about Russell Crowe?
Do you know something about Russell Crowe? Is this alleged?
No.
Oh.
So I used to be a PA when I worked in Los Angeles, production assistant.
Yeah, say production assistant. Don't say PA.
Production assistant. Yeah, I used to be a production assistant.
Sounds big time.
It's the lowest of the low times.
Sounds good, though.
I was a coffee getter. I would set up the lights. So this was when Robin Hood. Do you remember when Russell Crowe was in
absolutely.
Robin Hood?
I'm a big Russell Crowe fan. Yeah.
So Russell Crowe had this. I worked for this production company that did like behind the scenes. So they would do the DVD extras, you know.
Yes.
And I was the PA for that. So I brought the because I had a minivan, the one that I shot with a shotgun. So I had a lot of emptiness in the back seat. So I would take the lights and the cameras to set. So I took the lights and the cameras to set for this Russell Crowe shoot.
Yes.
And then broke it all down and then went back to the dressing room to make sure everything was cleared out.
Okay.
And there was sitting a pair of Pelican high top sneakers that had like some carpeting on them. You know, they were like felt like cool high top shoes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, they left them here. So I took them back into the car thinking that I would give them my boss to give back to Russell Crowe.
Okay.
So these are Russell Crowe's sneakers now. And they're in my car. And then I take them over. And then I didn't give them back. Yeah. I still feel guilty about it.
Is the statute of limitations run out?
I think it does. That's why I'm bringing this story up. Okay. So I may have taken his sneakers, but also I tried to find someone at the front desk to see if his people weren't there.
Yes. So you tried?
I tried.
Wait a minute. If I say you tried, did that make me an accomplice?
No. Well, maybe 10 years after the fact, 20, 15 years after the fact.
Because they come, I have to tell. You know that.
Yeah. This was 12 years ago. You wouldn't snitch on me, though.
I probably would.
Anyway, for the next 2 years, I take that very personally. For the next 2 years, I walked around with Russell Crowe sneakers. Really? I wore those things until the bottom was nothing. They were holes in them. I sewed them back up at one point.
That's pretty
badass. Blew out. The back of them blew out. And a friend of mine in South Carolina, Critica was her name. She sewed them.
Another accomplice.
Yeah. Isn't that pretty cool, though?
Yeah. You better segue out of this before we get arrested.
What were we talking about before that? We were talking about something important.
Well, I wanted to know more about you. Which one you like?
Oh,
which one you want either to write for? Stand-up or skits? Well,
it depends.
Do you write that or is it off the dome?
No. I write for both of them.
Yes.
But the nice thing with stand-up is you can riff on stage, and sometimes you go up with just an idea and you can come off with a bit. Because when you're on stage, it puts you into this different mentality somehow, where it's like, I am here and I got to dig myself out of the hole. It's improvising.
You know? I like that.
I mean, probably much like you did on the field.
Well, yeah. A lot of that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, if they give you a formation that you're not practice all week, and coaches used to tell me 20% of what we think they're going to do, the other 80, we have no effing idea. We don't.
Really?
We just don't. We know what they like to do.
Uh-huh.
And coaches are stubborn.
Yeah.
Because you have to go, well, what joke works? But like you say, sometimes you can spin off a joke.
Right.
With football, it's the same thing. It is the same thing, because if you call cover four and they give you a formation that a guy's uncovered, you can't use a timeout on defense. I think it's silly. You should be able to call a timeout anytime. But they always say defense people, that's for the offense, timeouts. But I would literally audible into something that was comfortable. So is it a joke that you could always say, you not a heckler,
yeah,
but you telling a joke and they not laughing.
Oh yeah, that
you
happens.
Got a go-to joke?
Several go-to
there
jokes.
There you go.
Yo,
that's
yeah.
my guy.
Or have... sometimes
yeah.
you just sit there and you breathe and you take in the bomb, baby. You take yeah. in that feeling of a joke bombing.
Yeah. They you say know? You, is that true? You have to bomb before you know what it feels like.
Yeah. Be... Yeah. You got to kind of bomb your way because yeah. here's what's going to happen. There's no way any comedian yeah. ever has crushed every single joke. Every comedian is going to bomb a joke at some
I've
point
heard,
in their life.
I've heard that.
And so if you bomb an entire show, like you're up on stage for your whole set, could be five yeah. minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, which usually happens when you're first starting out, you're going to bomb a 5 minute set. You're going to be up yeah. there for 5 minutes just eating it. But then that when you're up there on stage doing a theater and a yes. joke doesn't go well in front of all those people,
yep.
you've been there before, you like take that in and you don't let it throw you. Because if you let it throw you in that moment, the audience is in the mood you're in and you can tell nervous energy from a mile away.
Yeah. That's
and true. If an audience is all feeling nervous energy and you're their point of focus, now the audience is all uncomfortable. And you can really ruin a show like that.
Yeah, I want to ask you something else real quick. Now, lately, players have been getting annoyed with the fans.
Really?
Yes. We've had, I think, Draymond Green, Russell Westbrook with the Lakers here in Milwaukee. A guy was saying, as if a heckler was heckling you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really?
And
I must have missed that.
It's been happening a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm telling players, ignore those people
mm-hmm.
and just play the game.
Did that ever happen to you? Do you have
all the time?
What would they say?
Racist stuff.
Oh.
Race. Yeah. I mean, some of the most racist stuff you've ever heard.
In the NFL or in college?
NFL.
Or really, in the
NFL? NFL. In college, no. It's the student body. They get it. They just try to, you know, your mom wore combat boots type stuff. But when somebody calls you the N-word,
really,
all the narrow stereotypes.
Yeah,
I don't care because a real one would react to that. I just play.
Yeah,
I beat you with that scoreboard.
Yeah,
because you got to go home and say, "Man, we lost today." That's how I get you back. But sometimes players figure fans cross the line. There could be a heckler, two drunk guys sitting in front. Say, you know what? We're going to heckle the hell out of Charlie Behrens because we don't like him, whatever. We don't like that he's getting a million views. And how do you get past that?
How do you get past that? Well,
I mean, you can ask security because some of the way the security got it. And listen, you're disturbing other people.
Yeah.
Well, you need to sit down and be quiet. We want to hear. Enjoy the show.
Well, so I don't get a ton of negative hecklers. I get a lot of drunk people shouting stuff at the thing.
Yes.
And I usually embrace it for a moment,
yes.
you know, and see what's going on with them and then kind of move forward. It's not very often I will get somebody who's not a fan of me at one of my shows because then why would they have paid for the show?
Exactly.
It's happened before, but I just, what I do is I either... this is kind of a dangerous thing to do, but I'll just walk out there and interview them, you know, so kind of turn it on them, kind of get to the bottom of how funny they are,
yes.
or how funny they think they are. Usually they're not that funny. But that's a good way of doing it of, oh, so, you know, and you just kind of riff with them like, okay, so you didn't like that joke. So why not, you know, really go full Socratic
yes.
method. Just keep saying why until you get to the root. And then, if that's something you can make fun of. Go for it, you know, but that's different from you yeah. when you were playing because, you know, you yeah. always had half yeah. the at least a quarter of this of whatever stadium you've been playing in are people who are yeah. not fans of yours.
Is that
you're on the opposite team?
But see, the good thing about where I'm from,
mm-hmm.
the South, you deal with it all the time. You're in Florida and Wisconsin. You don't see it very much at all. North, but the South. Oh, boy. You have four-year-olds walk up to you and flip you off and call you the N-word while you're pumping gas.
Really?
Out of the car. And you don't even hear it. You just keep it moving.
Yeah.
But if you react to it, then you know what kind of pushes your button. It'll never stop. To me, I never react to a lot of negative stuff.
Yeah.
Because it could be like if you on social media, which we didn't have like when I grew up, but if you're on social media, like some famous people, they'll react to, you could post a baby, the most beautiful baby in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful baby. It could be 1,000 comments. Oh, it's a beautiful. It'll be one guy or one girl say, oh, that's the ugliest baby. And that'll react, and then the parents will react to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So either turn the comments off or just keep it moving.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
well,
because you know your baby is amazing.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're thinking, who would say that? But they want a reaction from you on stage. And like you said, if you make them part of the show, and they go back and look at it, you know, that's a bad look for me.
Yeah.
You know, messing up. Because you wouldn't want to come to his job and just start doing stuff and distracting him. But if you're an athlete, if you're an entertainer, especially an athlete, you got to be focused in, dialed in. I don't know what they're saying because I'm so dialed in. Mm-hmm. And then later, security will pull you to the side and say, well, yeah, it was some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that? I said, no. Mm-hmm. They won't even tell me.
Mm-hmm.
They won't.
Yeah.
Other players tell me, though, because they hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of, I suppose, part of an unfortunate part of the business or part of the job is dealing with that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Unthawed or thawed? These are the questions the Kripcast will cover every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Can you just pull them brats out of the freezer? That'd be fantastic.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks? Jimmy K is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio. Sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. Ashiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AshiRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
So I'm looking at this Hall of Fame mug here. And I'm thinking now, since I haven't had you on since we since I went down to Canton with my
since
dad.
Since you had my jacket on?
Yeah. That was okay. All right. I want to talk about that. So to give the audience a little backdrop here, me and my dad went down to Canton because Roy was nice enough to invite us to his Hall of Fame induction. And so I go there and we go to the gold jacket ceremony and then we go to the actual event, the unveiling of the bust and hearing your speech, and your speech was phenomenal, by the way. It was great. Thanks. And then we go to the party afterwards, which I'm doing my best to MC it. You know, that was fun. Very fun.
That was great.
And then afterwards you pick up the mic and you let me try on your gold jacket, which is going down as one of the greatest moments of my life. It was so cool. Why did you think that I should wear your jacket? It was very warm, by the way.
Because no other Hall of Famer would do it.
No, none at all.
They would. I like people experiencing what I experienced. And at that moment, spontaneous, that's how you're so funny. I said this, and it just popped in my head. Because I think either you were mic'd up or I, no, you were mic'd up. So you had to get your mic out and put it on.
Yeah.
And everybody's mouth was just wide. I just thought for that moment, I want Charlie to see what it feels like to have that kind of attention. Because you deserve that kind of platform. And my wife gets on me because she know I'm a big fan. I always say, Charlie's funnier than him. We'll watch a movie. Oh, Charlie's way funnier than him. And she does it. She's one of your biggest fans. So I thought you emceeing the party would not only give, and your dad loved it because he's a huge fan.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a once in a lifetime thing that can never be duplicated.
I'm so grateful for it.
I don't think any Hall of Famer will ever let somebody else put his jacket on. Matter of fact, I know that.
I was so
it
shocked.
It happened. So I
walked
you to
up
be
and
that
I
person.
Was looking at all those faces. I was like, don't blame me for this. Don't blame me
you
for this.
You can't get blamed for something that I...
I know. I was so honored.
Yeah,
I was
man,
so honored,
that's,
dude.
That's part of your history now.
I appreciate it.
You know what?
It.
Actually, my party was nothing like the other players' parties.
I love that because this is what you said to me as the MC of it. You were like, you wanted every Packer player to get an introduction when they walk through the door, and I tried to do that. And I, you know, and you said because this is about them, because without them, I wouldn't be here.
Absolutely,
you know,
all facts. Yeah,
I mean, and that goes to your whole deal, man. I love that about you. That even when they put the Leap statue there, you said, don't put my face, don't make it me, make it about the fans. You always make it about the fans.
Yes.
You even make vodka for the fans. And by the way, there's a special Hall of Fame edition of the vodka. I'm going to say that again. Look at that. That's super cool, man. I love
that's
that.
That's one of my favorite pictures because I squint a lot. And I remember the photographer, I was like, what are you looking at? I said, I don't know. That's how I look. The sun wasn't in my eyes, and I just do that a lot.
Yeah, you
and when
know
he
what?
Captured it, that's why we use that.
I like that. Yeah, you do have that squint.
It's like what are you looking at? But that's my natural reaction, and that's my football face. Put it that way.
Yeah, it is your football face.
Yes,
that's a great deal.
And I thought maybe doing that was something that would, because most of my pictures. I smile. I remember the guy real quick. The guy did my bust.
Yeah.
His name is Blair.
Uh-huh.
He flew me out to Salt Lake. You ever been to Utah?
Salt Lake City? I've been to Salt Lake.
It's beautiful.
Oh, man. It is so beautiful.
Those mountains. I was like, this is cool. You know, and so we come in this compound and he got all these pictures of me.
Yeah.
Because he had to make these impressions out of clay.
Uh-huh.
And then they bronze it. He said, I've been on the internet for months and I can only find like 3 or 4 pictures of you not smiling.
Really?
All of them are like, even on the bench, in my helmet, I'm smiling. I'm just a happy person.
You're a happy fella.
So he says, if I do this bust, you know you're going to look like you got brown teeth. I said, yeah. So I did a poll on my social media, on my Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok or whatever.
Yeah.
And all the fans said, yeah, you should smile because that's my signature, just smiling.
Oh, that's great. That is, so you're happy with the bust?
Yes. Now, sometimes when you take that off, the guy's not happy. It'll look like the guy.
Oh, yeah?
But you got to be into it, though. You got to go out there. You got to sit there for 6 hours.
Uh-huh.
And you just got to just smile. You can go to the bathroom. You can eat. But for the most part, you sit there and you talk to him. And he get every impressions, the wrinkle in the forehead, because it's, I don't know how they know this, but they say it lasts for 40,000 years. I have no idea why they picked that number. They could have said 50 years, it'd have been fine with me.
Yeah.
But so it was important, but it's been some guys, they don't go meet with them allegedly, or they just don't have enough time to sit there for that long. They got a lot going on. And I think it's 3 or 4 guys that actually do it, and the guys are not happy with it. Well, you gotta call them back. You gotta be there, and they'll give you input too. Like you say, how do you want your haircut to look from the side, from the front, and so they'll get as tedious as you want.
Yeah,
and I think most players have been doing that now. It's only happened, I think, once or twice. A guy unveiled these two guys' reaction, like. But for the most part, because you get a chance to look at it.
Yeah. Oh, you do. So that was what I was going to ask. You see it before it's unveiled. Oh, down the stretch. Else. Yeah.
You get about 90% what it's going to look like.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Now, at two things. One, at the dinner for your Hall of Fame, when I was there, I was talking to some of your friends at the table, and I think one of them was saying, like, anytime you go out to dinner, you know, it's like everyone be sitting down there like, where's Leroy? And you're off thanking like the kitchen staff and all that sort of stuff. So you just walk into the kitchen and you just thank them. And
my mom always told me this because I do all the cooking at my house.
Mm-hmm.
She always said to me, find out who's cooking your food and you thank them. Because they're in full control over you right now.
Mm.
Full control.
Yeah.
They can give you something and you think it's, and it could not be good. But if you thank them and you tip them, not only was your meal amazing and come out on time, it will always do that for you.
Yeah.
So that's something I've always done.
Yeah.
Is tip the waitresses, waiters, and sometimes it's too much going on. You can't go back there. So I'll wave.
Oh, yeah.
Just let the head chefs, hey, man, I know you back there sweating. I know you're putting in those hours, and your food's fire. They love that. See, that's my biggest thrill is when I cook for my wife 6 days a week and my kids, and they love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's awesome.
Well, at that same table, in the middle of the table, was a centerpiece, and there's that cup right there, that Hall of Fame cup.
Okay.
And so we all pick a number to see who got the cup at the table. And I picked a number, so I got the cup. And
allegedly, are you?
No, for real. You for real, cheat? I did.
I had to talk to your dad.
So, but I felt bad taking it. So then I said, okay.
Here's why?
Well, because I got a lot of stuff, you know? So I felt bad.
But you don't have that.
I don't have that. And you know what? I'm not going to keep that because here's what I think we should do. I think you should sign it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we put it up on like eBay as an auction and then donate all the proceeds to the Boys and Girls Club of Milwaukee. Oh, what do you think?
100%.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
All right. So you want to sign it so they know it's authentic? You want to do that now? I'm not putting you on the spot, am I? Here, hang on.
No. Where's my jacket? Give me my pen. Now, it comes empty though. Oh, right. Oh.
I almost broke it right there. Now, so it comes empty or I can put beer in it. But no, so... There was one of these. Have you signed any of these yet?
Yes.
Oh, you did. Yeah. You should have said no, because that would have made it more rare. You haven't?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I'm serious. I haven't.
You haven't?
No, I haven't.
I think there's probably like
I have not.
300 tables there. So there's probably 300 of these mugs in existence.
Right.
Unless you could buy them. But I didn't see where you could.
I thought this was the one with just me on it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's with all of them. That's with all of
them. See, this is with everybody. I haven't seen this one.
Yeah.
I signed one like this with just me.
Okay. Got it.
So that's why I said yes.
All right. Cool. Sweet. So this will be worth
hundreds of thousands of dollars. Everybody wins.
And so and then you just auction. We're going to put it up. We're going to make an eBay site. I think, I mean, if eBay doesn't work, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it on Craigslist. Look at that. What'd you write?
Hey, man.
You signed your name?
Yes.
Okay. HOF 2022. I love it.
I'll pay $200 for it, though. So they got to start it with
$200. Start the bid at $200.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So at least we'll donate $200.
And if it's not on eBay, I'm going to put it on Craigslist.
If I had Charlie Baron's money, I'd do $300, but I can only do
$200. Is that how you're going to do it?
Hey, man. I heard you got big money. Maximus told me.
Maximus was...
He was on your app, on your phone, man.
He lies sometimes.
He was cash-apping everybody. Don't do that. No, but yeah.
All right.
We could do that. Maybe what we'll do, too, we'll throw in a bobblehead, too.
Okay, we'll throw in a bobblehead.
So we'll do a bobblehead. We'll take Max's bobblehead we gave him. He won't even know.
Okay.
And we'll sign that, and so both of them together.
You know what? I got to do something, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this cribbage board right here.
Hey,
and I'll throw in the cribbage board. I'll sign the cribbage board.
Where'd you get that?
We make them. And you want to see?
Who is we?
Do you play cribbage?
No, man, that's some white people. I'm not going to cribbage, man. I play spades.
Oh, you play spades? I see how it is. Well, cribbage, here's how the white folks play it.
That's a lot of black people play it, too.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Bags is three-person deal. Very nice. So I'll toss this in, too. I'll sign this sucker. This is my person one. I don't have another one of these anymore.
Oh, wow.
We actually made them in Milwaukee, Brew City Lumber. They're making some Ope ones for us now.
Oh, you got to sign that.
Yeah, I'll sign this.
That's worth and a then, lot of money.
Yeah.
What did I do with the pen?
I don't know. What did you do with the pen?
Oh, wait. I think I put it in my pocket.
Oh, you're stealing my pens?
On tape.
Oh, jeez.
We'll edit that out. Don't worry.
All right.
That's why I love podcasts, man. You can do stuff. See, everybody wins. You can win this stuff.
Look at this. You got a Charlie Baron.
That's worth a lot of money.
Well, not as much money as what you just signed there. This one of a kind.
I don't know.
All right, so Charlie Baron signed cribbage board, my personal one. So actually, I think the Jokers are missing, which is ironic because I am a Joker. Charlie Baron signed cribbage board, one of a kind. It was my personal one. And then Leroy signed the Hall of Fame Class of 2022 mug. I think that might be a one of a kind.
It is. Because I've never seen that with everybody, the whole class on it.
There you go. And so
and a bobblehead.
You just search Charlie Baron's Leroy Butler, Boys and Girls Club of Milwaukee. Yes. Cool. And this will pop up on the internet.
Yes.
Or we'll put a link somewhere. And then you can auction the highest bidder.
Can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
I think it'll go for at least $1,500.
$1,500?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Are you a gambler?
No.
No. You don't have any of the vices, you know?
No, I don't know.
No. Good for you.
No, but I'll say this though.
What's that?
Scott Frost. He was the head football coach at Nebraska a few years ago. I think he got let go last year. One of the best poker players I've ever been around. Mark Tauscher. You know Mark now, Tauscher.
Oh, played for the Badgers. Sure, sure.
The second best poker player, Mike Wall. He's a guard for the Packers.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the top three best poker players ever. Now I'm going to get the top three dice players that can shoot dice.
Okay.
Tiger Green.
Okay. What game? What game? Are we talking craps?
Yeah. Not CeeLo. That's
okay.
People fight too much.
You don't like CeeLo?
No. Too many fights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's nice to see a good dice fight, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no. Not at my house.
Okay.
They come to my house every Tuesday. Every time we did CeeLo, 4, 5, 6 guys would fight and they stopped talking.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a game, right?
But craps is fine. You guys shoot craps.
Every roll somebody wins.
Yeah, it is fun. That is fun.
Tiger Green's number one. Uh-huh. Antonio Freeman.
Oh, really?
Oh, man. This guy.
What's his game?
The crap.
Oh, it's craps too.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
He's amazing.
Is he?
And Johnny Holland.
Ah.
I stay away from those guys.
Okay.
But I'm not a gambler.
But you're not a gambler. No. So you just named the top three dice players and the top three poker players.
I'm just a host.
Oh, you're just a host.
You don't participate. They just come to my house.
You just watch.
I beat them.
Yeah, what do you guys do when your friends come over? What do you guys do?
Well, it depends.
Which friends?
That's right. It depends on the friends. If you're the married guys, then we play spades.
Mm-hmm.
Or sheep's head.
Oh, you play a lot of sheep's head?
It's a lot of that. Allegedly, we wouldn't gamble, but.
You know what? That's great, man.
Yeah,
that's
single
awesome.
Guys, more dice. More craps.
Dice, yeah.
Yeah.
They like that excitement, you know?
Yes,
they're into the here and the now. Married guys, they're taking their time.
Yes.
Strategy, you know?
Yes, and they don't mind sitting there for hours.
Yeah.
But dice game, hey, let's go. You can either win 10,000
mm-hmm.
or you can lose 20.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
I was gambling. I used to play Low Chicago. You ever play Low Chicago?
No, what is that?
It's like a high card, a low card. You guess, you bet how much to get in the middle. Or dominoes. You ever play dominoes?
Wait, is that the same as called in between?
Yeah, it's in between.
Okay, allegedly, you're going to find this interview. I use that word a lot. It was a lot of fights on planes playing in between.
Oh, really?
A lot of fights.
On like team fights?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
In between's a fun game.
If you get like a, explain it, you know, a 3 and a 10, and you got to get something in between. I don't understand why, if you know the rules, why are you getting upset?
Yeah, it's pretty, well, you know what? I bet you I know what it is.
Yeah.
Let's say it's between a 2 and a queen. Okay, and then you hit a queen.
Yes.
And then
yes.
You're saying, what happens now?
Well, yes.
And then, you know, some people are like, no, it's out.
Yes.
You know, and they're like, uh-uh, you got to roll another card. I bet you that was it.
Were you on these planes?
No. I played a fair amount with my siblings.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. We got to do some sheep's head.
Yeah.
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 My dad's a big sheep's head player.
Really?
Maybe that's what we do. Does your wife play sheep's head?
No.
No? Does she want to learn?
No.
Well, if, are you sure?
Nah.
Come on.
She ain't doing none of that.
No.
She's like in church 60 days a week.
She's a big church goer.
What?
What?
Yeah. I'm like, the Packers play at noon. We ain't going to church. Wait.
And she's like, yeah, we
Saturday
are.
Saturday afternoon.
Oh, wow.
The Badgers are playing. Florida State's playing.
Yeah. She goes to church Tuesday. Saturdays.
Tuesday. What's Isn't God home with his family? Isn't Jesus home? Like, kick back.
Yeah, Jesus needs a day off, too.
Yes, he want to go home with his family. Come on. She's, and we have fun.
That's great.
I rip on her a lot.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, because just because your name is in the Bible don't mean you need to go there every day. But I love her because she has a sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
But she know it, man, on Sundays. So what pastor did, he gets out at 11.
That's
the
good.
The Packers play at noon.
Yeah.
You know, the few times I do go, 11:08, we out.
Yeah.
I see some churches, man, it's 12:30, people still sitting in there. Come on.
We don't need dragging on. You want people to like God, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I love that. You want people to like God.
Yeah.
That's a t-shirt. Yeah. Get out there at 11 o'clock. You want people to like God. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Man, you're brilliant.
No. Well, cool. I'm glad we're going to auction off these items. All the proceeds go to the Boys and Girls Club in Milwaukee.
Yes.
And if it's not on eBay, we're going to put it on Craigslist and say, or best offer. That'll be more confusing. I kind of want to get on the auction site, but I just got checking all the tax stuff, where does the money go? And I don't want to like screw. I don't want to inadvertently be like, you can't raise money this way, you know, and then you're in trouble.
You try to do something good.
And then people get fussy about it. So
it's okay. But at least we did our part.
Yeah, at least we did our part. Are we going ice fishing this winter?
Whose shanty is
it? Whose shanty? Yeah, it's my buddy Larry Smith.
Send me a picture of it.
No, it's a nice shanty. What?
Send me a picture.
It's warm. Do you need it to be more
Black
than
people
warm?
Don't ice fish, man. So I'm doing something out of my element.
All right. Well, what are we gonna do then?
Let's send me a picture. What it looks like.
No. You know what?
If it looks nice, I'm in.
All right. It's not gonna be nice. You're not gonna like the picture.
Well, I mean,
all right. Yeah. Then what should we do? I'll do something that
you come up with something.
Well, I just came up with something. What? Okay, sheep's head. Sheep's head game.
No, definitely not.
Why not?
No.
Why not? Euchre?
Because if something happens on video, I don't want that out there.
Why? Well, no video, just for funs. Funsies.
I'll think about it.
All right, you think about it. Well, then, you know what?
I do want to do, though.
What?
Speaking of sheep's head.
Yeah.
I do want to come to the house and make some walleye for
do
your mom
some fish.
And dad.
Let's do that. Let's do a fish fry. Because we've been talking about this for so long.
But it's not our fault because it was a pandemic.
Everything was a pandemic.
We had to go get our own fish.
But it's been, I know.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
You got out the boat and walked over.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that video.
It's a fun
go
video.
Go watch that video. Me and Charlie went fishing. Was that 2 years ago?
God, almost. Might have been.
I think
20. It was spring of 2020?
Something? I don't know.
I think it was summer of 2020.
I think it was one of the funniest things we've ever done.
It was very funny.
And because I love, as Charlie knows, I love walleye. So yeah, let's do a
walleye fish fry.
Yeah.
All right. It was a
video because I got to teach you how to cook.
Yeah, that'd be fun. We'll do a cooking video.
Yes. Because I want to do a cooking video, then I want to do a dating show, then I'm going to go find your wife.
Oh, no.
I know what you like now.
No. What? How do you know? Who told you?
Nobody. I studied you for three, 4 years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I'm going to screen everybody. Like? Yeah, the top 1,000 girls in all 50 states. Can't be a Kardashian, though.
Oh, God. You know.
No, we're not doing that.
You're always looking out for me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
I'm going to find somebody for you, though. Well, I think I may have somebody. She has an 800 credit score.
Does she?
Yes.
Nice credit. You see, you know so much about me. I'm always looking at that credit score.
Isn't that nice? My wife has like a 8-something. I don't know. I think I'm a 4, so me and her together is 1,200. That's good.
Wait, you know what? You're smart about that. You're smart about that.
Yes, that was in my marriage vows. To have somebody with good credit. I'm a cash guy. You need somebody. Most guys are a cash guy.
He's a cash guy who doesn't gamble.
Right.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Why I keep my cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure you don't gamble, man.
We could go to Vegas and I'll play, but I'm tight.
You tight. Well, so you gamble.
Because I get up 1,500, I'm done.
You want to go to Pato?
I'm an Oneida guy.
We'll go to Oneida.
Pato got too much of my money.
Oh, yeah.
They got $50 down there that they've taken from me.
I see. That's how
Oneida?
It
oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Real quick.
Oneida?
Real quick.
Boy.
Oneida. Yes. Real quick. Real quick story about Oneida. Yeah, it's true story. True story.
Okay.
No allegedly.
All right.
Me, Robert Brooks. Uh-huh. Love Robert Brooks.
Oh, great guy.
Edgar Bennett.
Ah, yeah.
They start putting this is back in the 90s, of course.
Yeah.
They were doing bingo. They said, well, they got slot machines now. So we were so excited. So we go over there. We made a pack. Uh-huh. Whoever hits the jackpot, we're going to split the money.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We, ready, break, take,
Yeah. You put your hands in the sand.
Yeah. Like man law. Okay. Air quotes, man law.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking no one's going to hit it. So we go there and we're playing red, white, and blue sevens. It's 25,000. Okay. So we're playing it. You hit all red, it's like 1,100 or whatever. And we're playing it. And then like 2 hours later, I put and these are $5 machines.
Oh wow.
$5.
Wow.
Every pull is $5. Put it in there. I hit it. Nothing happened, Charlie. But I'm playing two machines. Can I put in here, and nothing. I see this thing broke, man. I'm trying to put money in it, and it just comes out. So I'm playing the other one. So you hit the service button for them to come service. Something wrong with it.
Yeah.
True story. So all of a sudden, Robert Brooks come over there. Rolly! I said, what? Rolly! I said, what? You hit 25 G's. You don't see the little thing was going on.
Oh, really?
But I'm in a zone. Because like I told you, I don't really gamble like that.
You got two machines.
I don't really gamble. Like, we're just having fun.
Yeah.
And just back when I was making a bunch of money, too.
Yeah.
Now you can't do that. But I wasn't paying attention to it. I just thought it was tilted.
Broke? You thought it was broke?
Yeah, like a pinball machine. So all of these people come over.
Yeah.
And now it pops in my head. I got to split the money with these guys. So the security comes and they say, hey, listen, we're going to take you in the back, sign paperwork.
Yeah.
Do you want cash or do you want a check? Mm. I said, explain the difference. I mean, we can get $18,700 in cash. Or we can write you a check and take the taxes out. Same thing.
Oh, I see.
Or they can give you the check and you just pay your own taxes.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So I say, sir, it's two African American guys standing out this door. I want them removed. I'm never getting into heaven. I said, I want them out of here. And the guy said, that's Robert Brooks. I don't give a. I want them out of here. They're trying to rob me. I don't know them. Me and the security was laughing. I was on the floor laughing. I'm telling you, it was so funny. We went out. They didn't never saw me come out. I went out the back door.
got into a car,
yeah,
and they took me back to the stadium. And the guy, Robert Brooks and Edgar Bennett, what the hell is wrong? What anybody see? And Holmgren was like, I don't know what's going on. He hit the jackpot. He split the money with us. And I never split it. I'm just saying, hey man, I allegedly told y'all that. I don't remember that. And I didn't actually think I was going to like hit it.
Yeah.
So like a couple years later, it was so funny. Brett was laughing. Reggie was laughing. It was just so funny. Like a few years later, I gave each one of them like $10,000.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Like, but I let them sweat it for 2 years.
Wow. You paid them with interest.
Yeah, I did.
With interest.
Because I just wanted it to be a running joke. Yeah, that I didn't pay them.
Yeah.
But hey man, listen, I tell that story, I laugh. That's a good one to end on.
That's a good one. That's a great one, Nana. Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate that.
I'm sorry, Edgar. I'm sorry, Robert.
I don't think you are sorry at all. Based on the kind of laughter you've been doing here, man.
I was like, well, those two African Americans.
And they didn't arrest them, though. They didn't move them.
No. They knew who they were. Yeah, they knew it. It was just funny.
That's hilarious, man.
Man, it's always a pleasure to see you.
Dude, great seeing you too, man.
We got to do it again, though.
I would love to.
We got to do the fish fry.
We'll do the fish fry.
We're doing stuff for charity.
Doing stuff for charity, yeah.
And you're going to be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I'm just putting it.
We didn't even talk about your documentary. So we're going to get you back on and talk about that.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
Because you're actually doing a voiceover for that.
Oh, wow.
That voiceover money good.
Is that official? Is that officially official? Do you lie?
We boys.
I know. Yeah. No.
I didn't say allegedly.
No, you didn't. Well, thank you.
No, I have a part. I want you in your voice say what I went through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's going to the Packers at the cusp. So it'll be you saying, this is what Leroy had to endure going to the Packers. He's always wanted to play in the NFL, and he actually did it. And it was like, cut to you talking.
Oh, nice.
It's a small part, but hey, man, you get paid. So
hey, man, I don't even need to get paid.
They pay you for this.
All right. Well, yeah. I'll do that. I'll take the money while I can, you know, when you're offering it. Lest I know, you know, you gamble it away.
Exactly.
I love how at one point in this conversation, you said you didn't gamble.
I know.
And so the more I talk to you, the more allegedly. I get the full story. Allegedly. You can't just put allegedly in front of everything. I guess you can.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate you coming.
Love you, my brother.
Love you back.
Yeah.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003, 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram, Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl. Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.